listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
A lot of challenging things have been happening in our world in recent years. We've had fires recently, bad weather, business downsizing, financial fluctuation, illness, loss of loved ones. The list goes on and on. My guest today calls this brown stuff. She also says that we have a choice. We can allow the brown stuff of life to stop us in our tracks, or we can keep going and find what happens after. The what comes after she calls magic. Author Shit Happens, Magic Follows, Carmen Harris is our guest today on Full Power Living. So welcome. We are dedicated to awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. You can chat with us as you listen to the show on emotionalpro.com and on blogtalkradio.com/FPL. Please consider subscribing through iTunes. And for today, use our toll-free number to call and ask questions. Our number is 888-498-0570. Before unexpectedly discovering her gift for healing, for nearly 30 years, Carmen Harris was a professional TV writer under the pseudonym of Lisselle Kayla. Her curriculum vitae includes pinning two series of an original primetime BBC One sitcom, a 10-year stint as a core writer for EastEnders, and various engagements as a film dialogue coach. Though she still writes professionally, her healing work takes precedence these days. Her clients range from the unemployed to celebrities, including her famous actress daughter. Her website is listed on our chat. So, Carmen Harris, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Your book, Shit Happens, Magic Follows. I don't know how to put that little asterisk in there. We have to say the whole word.
Yes, that's very funny. You know what's funny is that if you actually do a search on Amazon for shit, it doesn't come up. So you have to use the asterisk. You have to type in SH*T.
I see. That's interesting. So that book is autobiographical. And early in your book, you have this statement. You say, I'd like you to realize that whatever your decisions in life, even when it seems unlikely, guidance and acceptance are always there. Every moment, every situation, every regret is a reward. No encounter is ever wasted or showing up by any kind of accident. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Yes. We're all here on a journey, on a beautiful journey. And what happens in this life is that we're so hard on ourselves. We blame ourselves for everything that goes wrong. Every stumble we take, we think it's our fault. We harp on about things that happened years and years and years ago, and we keep that emotional pain inside of us. And what we don't realize is that every single day that we wake up is an opportunity to start again, is an opportunity to be a different person, whatever person you choose to be. And that sounds very simplistic, but it's the heart of why we're here.
Absolutely. And another thing that you make a comment about whether you choose or refuse to heed life's lessons, the prerogative is always yours. In my work as a psychotherapist, I've long told people that our earth is a giant. Oh, this interference is really not good. I'm afraid people aren't going to be able to hear you.
Yes, I would have preferred Skype. I don't know what, I've switched my computer off. There's nothing else here that's interfering.
Okay. Well, one of the interesting things is we'll just have to keep you talking a lot, because when you talk, the signal is better.
Okay.
So,
yes,
anyway, as a therapist, I've long told people that my belief is that our world is a giant school. And you're talking a lot like that, too. Like our primary meaning or purpose here is for learning. Can you talk about how you see that?
Yes. what happens is that we confine ourselves to the smaller picture. We look at this story today that we're living. We're looking at this story yesterday that we live. We're looking at the story that we live as a child to an adult. But actually, our story is far bigger, greater than that. You know, if you believe in past lives as I do, every time we're born on this earth, we come from a long lineage of other lives where we've experienced other stories. And so when we get caught up in this story, these problems that we have right now, actually, the journey has been far longer than that. And we have to put ourselves in the context of a huge picture. And every day we're connecting to something big and enormous as the universe. Am I making any sense here?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's really the key for all of us, and also what our times are showing us is that we need to have a bigger picture of not only what things are about, but who we are.
Yes.
And when we do, it makes more sense.
Yes, we kind of slot. Sorry, I'm just trying to. I'm much better when I actually talk about specific things. For example, clients who've come to me and they're battling with certain issues, and those issues seem all consuming to them, but those issues actually relate to much further back down the line. We think that everything has to be perfect here and now. We don't realize that where we are now is the perfect place for us to be on this journey. We cannot get anything wrong. If we feel that something has gone amiss in our lives, that place where we are is a place of learning. That place where we are is a place where we actually are able to take the next step into another direction if we choose that. So,
right.
What I'm saying is that everything is a stepping stone towards home. As Ram Dass says,
yes,
we're all just walking each other home. Everything points to home. We'll all get there in the end.
Yes. And one of the points you make so well in your book is that we often get stopped and we think things are terrible are happening, and when in fact the terrible thing may actually be pushing us to the next really wonderful step in our evolution.
And that's the shit. that's the brown stuff hitting the fan, and it happens to all of us all the time. And what happens is, because we're human beings and we've been so conditioned to go after the pleasure. The pleasure is our main focus. And where the pain is, where the suffering is, we don't want to reside there at all. And actually, that's where the lesson is. The shit is where the lesson is. And often
right.
We're trying to battle our way out of the shit to get to the next stepping stone. But actually, if we just sit there, if we just be there, meditate there, surrender and just see how things transpire, the next step is the magical step. If we don't push ourselves onto the next step, we actually just allow the next step to materialize in front of us. I'll give you an example. My book launch was at the end of May. July. It was at the end of July. And I had been preparing for this for a long, long time. And on the actual morning, somebody came to my door and said, "You do realize that today is the day that we have a big national tube, sorry, not national, London-wide tube strike, and the first tube strike for 10 years. Everything ground to a halt. There were huge traffic jams everywhere, people unable to get to work, people stranded. It was chaos, absolute chaos. And immediately my heart, as it would, started thumping, and I started going into a real panic, because before you can engage yourself to this surrender, you have to go with the feelings that first come to you. And the first feeling that came to me was panic, massive panic. And the thought that ran through my head was, oh my God, why me? I'm going to have to cancel this, but people will be turning up. When will I be able to do this again? All these thoughts going through my head until I got hold of myself. And I thought, my God, you've written a book called Shit Happens, Magic Follows. Allow it. So why don't you do just that? And that's when I came to this place of calm and center. And this is where the allowing is. When you realize that the universe is always working in your favor, one way or another, it's enabling us to take the journey home. Whether we go left or right or forward or backwards, we're heading home. We're heading towards where we want to be. So there's got to be a huge amount of trust there. And so I thought, well, okay, I'm the one to have that trust because I've written this book. I can't just write it. I've got to live it. And so I came back to center, and amazing things happened. There were about 12 people at my home who were traveling with me to the center. And we'd ordered about 4 vehicles, and we'd just received a call saying, you do realize that there are going to be severe delays. And I didn't allow that to faze me at all. I just told myself, this is all going to be absolutely fine. The car came on time. We glided through the traffic as though it was melted butter. We arrived 15 minutes early. Everybody turned up. People came by shared cars. People came by buses. People walked. People took bikes. It was incredible. And we had full capacity and beyond, because we had to, you know, someone had to keep bringing extra chairs in. And everybody said the same thing. Everyone you asked, what was that evening like? Everyone said, used the same word. It was magical.
Oh, how wonderful. So, but what you're describing there is something you talk about quite a bit in your book, but which I think is really hard for people. And that is, at the moment things seem to be going wrong, you stopped, you took a breath, you reminded yourself to think with a different perspective on things.
Yes, exactly.
And that's a key part of your message, is it not?
Yes, it is. It is. And a huge part of that is to sit in the pain. We're always told that feeling bad is not good. That, you know, if you've got a headache, take a tablet. If you're feeling stressed or depressed, take a tablet or take some medication. Actually, what we're doing, as we know, is just suppressing the symptoms that need to come out. And when you sit in the pain and trust that the pain is not permanent, you always get to the other side. You sit in the pain and you watch it as an observer, as somebody looking in from the outside. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the pain, the suffering, that dispassionately, and you don't take it personally, as it were, it seems to just melt away. It seems to just melt away. And it does. And when it melts away, you now have clarity. And when you have clarity, you're no longer operating from panic.
Mm-hmm.
You're more measured in making your decisions. And everything seems to just fall into place every time.
My sister, many years ago, had the unfortunate experience of having her fiancé commit suicide. And I kept telling her as we talked over the months that in order here on the earth, in order to get beyond something, you must go through it.
Yes.
And that's the principle that you're talking about there. Although you know, when you accept what you're talking about, you go through it much more easily.
Yes, exactly. And give yourself time. That's the other thing. We often think that, you know, for example, someone who's grieving, that it's we're not allowed to feel it. We're not allowed to we shouldn't get over it. People are people are looking us in the eyes and almost saying, "Are you still grieving? Come on, you'll get over this. You'll get over it, and you will. But you won't as quickly if you don't actually be with it, stay with it."
Yes, yes, and now I know you go into this a lot in your book, but just for our listening audience, we need to mention here that this is not philosophy that you've drawn out of the air, that you've been through a lot of different experiences and a lot of hardship, including having your family immigrate from Jamaica to the United Kingdom when you were a 5-year-old, and being seen as a part of a group of people who might be insurgents and troublemakers by the prime minister, no less, and single motherhood, early motherhood at age 19, and periods of unemployment and not knowing what you wanted to do and all kinds of things. And one of the questions I had as I was reading your book is, what was it that encouraged you to just sit through some of those things? You exhibited an enormous amount of courage, like, well, this is what's happening, and this, even when things came up that normally might have seemed like they were just super opportunities for you, if it didn't feel right, you wouldn't do it. So how did you, what caused you to do that?
Well, the biggest thing really for me out of all those things was my mother dying the week of my 13th birthday, because she'd been ill for quite some time. So that was the biggest sticking point for me and colored a lot of my life. But I think the thing that saved me is that I've always been a dreamer. I've always been connected to my dreams. And that was my place of refuge. That was the place where I could go and be still. And I'm talking about night dreams as well as daydreams. That was the place that offered security for me. And because that was a real place, it was almost like having, you know, a door that I could go behind and go into another room. And there was my comfort blanket. So I always knew that no matter what was going down, I could still my heart. I could rationalize that the next day, the next moment could be better than this. And I think it's the stillness. Well, I know it's the stillness. It's the stillness that brings us to this place. And we're all able to reach this place.
Mm-hmm.
So, It doesn't sound very prosaic, but stillness is where we meet our souls. It's where we connect with who and what we really are. Because if you're just reliant upon this body, this flesh suit that we're walking around in, then it's a scary world to be in. It's a scary place to be in, because this body is very vulnerable. This body is prone to pain. It's prone to suffering. But when we know that we're connected to something far greater and far more powerful than this, and that we extend outside of this body in the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension and beyond, which sounds quite woo-woo as I'm saying it, but we're in the stillness, you connect to all of that. And that's the power that enables you to put a positive spin on everything.
That's lovely. You know, we're up to our first break, and you bring up something that I'd like to talk with you about after the break, and that is the various things that did happen with your body that you were able to work with and change.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them. Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Please sign up now at emotionalpro.com to be on our mailing list so we can send you our biweekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, I talk with Mario and Diana Cloutier as they tell us what they did to find the love they really wanted following failed relationships. They've written a workbook featuring what they call re-lovin'ship. So we're going to talk about re-lovin'ship next week. And it's a fascinating way of applying what we're learning about today. So listen at 9 a.m. Pacific time next Thursday, October 15th. I also want to thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. While you're on the Emotional Pro homepage, by the way, be sure to get your copy of my free list of the signals of 7 everyday emotions. They will immediately help you to move toward mastery over the emotions that come up in your life. So today, I'm talking with Carmen Harris, who is author of Shit Happens, Magic Follows. Are you back with us, Carmen?
I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, good, good. So, you know, one of the things we were talking about before the break was about the vulnerability of the human body. And in your book, you talk about the formation of a lump in your breast, the so-called inherited joint issue, problems with your joints, including a spondylosis that you had with your back, and you had all kinds of medical issues come up, failing or eyesight that was not good, that you couldn't see the face of your own children, and you healed those yourself. Can you talk to us about that?
It all began with the breast lump, and what that did for me was make it so clear the mind-body connection, how the mind and body are connected. What happened was I bought a book. It was a non-fiction book about a husband writing about his dying wife. His wife had terminal breast cancer. And I was fascinated by this book and couldn't put it down. And there was a little voice in my head saying, do not read this anymore. It will make you depressed, you know. It's not the book to read, but I couldn't put it down. And I read it voraciously. And by the end of the week, when I finished reading the book, I was having a bath one day, and there was an actual pea-sized lump in my breast, which I know hadn't been there before. And it was in exactly the same position as the lump that this woman had in her breast. And I found that completely frightening, number one, but I also found completely fascinating, because I just knew without any doubt that the emotions that I was going through as I was reading that book, because the lady in question died, I knew that the emotions had created all the conditions, all the chemicals in my body to create that mass of tissues. So I manifested a lump as a result of what I was thinking. And after that, I suppose I kind of put that to good use. I put that in, you know, I took that in my stride, because whenever I came across a physical issue with myself, and I used to be a hypochondriac before all of this, I would always be at the doctor for any little ailment. But after this, I thought, well, you know, mate, and I'm sure I didn't rationalize it as clearly as this, but I thought maybe I can do something to help myself. And with the joint pain, both my grandparents, my grandmothers on both sides, suffered from very bad rheumatoid arthritis, crippling rheumatoid arthritis. So I just accepted that would be my fate. And so when I started to develop joint pain, I took no notice of it. And until it became a real issue, and my right thumb in particular completely seized up. And I just thought, well, if this continues, then I'll be just like my grandparents. Maybe there's something I can do here. And so I used visualization and meditation to get into a state, and this was before I even knew what I was doing, really, to get into a state of complete calm. And I began to talk to my body, which sounds very strange, really ridiculous, but I've since discovered that your body is always talking to you, always, but we're never still enough to listen. So I made myself still enough to listen, and I asked my body various questions. And one of the questions I asked was, why are you doing this to me? And immediately the answer came back, and it wasn't something I thought. It was as though it floated in front of me, and the answer was control. And it made absolute sense to me, because I had a huge control problem. And what happens with people who need to control is that they tense every part of themselves. It's almost as though, you know, like you're clutching a ball. When things aren't going their way and they want things to steer things their way, it's almost as though they're tensing to clutch that ball, to hold on to that ball. But every fiber, every muscle, every sinew, every ligament is actually doing that. And you can imagine through life, if you're a control fanatic as I was, there are always situations that you're being confronted by where you can't control the situation. So all you can do is control this imaginary thing in your hand or your toes or whatever. So you're always tensing. And over time, incrementally, you're going to be wearing down those parts of your body. You're not even aware that you're doing this. But if you're still and you take notice, you will notice the parts of your body where you're tensing in order to control. And that's what I was doing. And little by little, my joints began to pay the price. So I then asked my body, well, how do I fix this? What do I do? And again, the answer came to me, and the answer was love. And that's when I realized that, you know, a part of me, a big part of me, didn't love myself enough. And I visualized each of my joints and saw them as like tight buds, really tight buds, unable to open up, too fearful to open up because, you know, who knows what's out there. And so I imagined giving each of these buds, these tightly coiled buds, a drop of love, a drop of forgiveness, a drop of kindness and acceptance. And before my eyes, I saw these flower buds open up into full bloom. And when I came out of this meditative state, my joints felt okay. You know, they felt better than when I'd started. And I thought, oh, it's just my imagination. And I thought, well, you know what? I need to test this. And I would take olive oil during the winter months because it seemed to mask the pain of my joints. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to stop taking that and see what happens. And that winter, I didn't take any liver oil, and all my joints were perfect, absolutely perfect. So I knew something had happened. So that's a huge, huge thing there, the power of the imagination.
Yes, and you also bring up many times, and I'm known as the emotional pro, so of course this is going to appeal to me, how vital our emotions are to the conduct of our lives and to the health of our bodies. That, you know, when you're being quiet, you're listening. When you're talking with your body, you're turning loose of your emotions so that you can listen and work with your body. And I think, unfortunately, we don't take the time or have the awareness, to do that. And so instead we go and ask somebody else to heal our bodies, which is not going very well by my observation.
Well, I used to be one of those people. I would always be at my doctor the slightest thing. I would be there. And I've, you know, done a complete reversal of that. Now when my partner says, or used to say, because now he's become more like myself, but when he used to say, I need to go to the doctor for this or that to find out what's wrong with me, and I'd be appalled. I'd say, why would the doctor know? You should know first.
Right.
And it's true, you know, if you sit with your body and ask your body, and even before you ask your body, intuitively, you know what the issue is. And often our bodies are battered by the same emotional circuit going round and round and round. So, you know, we're feeling deep sadness every day, deep down. It could be any situation, any person, any experience confronting us, and that sadness rears up again, or that anger rears up, or that fear rears up, because we're usually these three emotions dictate the kind our personalities. I used to be, and I still am, I suppose, because I'm quite colorful, but I used to be an anger person. But equally, I know people who fear people. They retreat, they shrink. And then there are the people who are very sad. And that all corresponds with our fight, flight, freeze response. So we're either rearing up and wanting to fight whatever issue, you know, push our way through. That's me, or that used to be me much more. Or we want to curl up and die with deep sadness. And or we freeze, or we numb ourselves, or we're so fearful and caught in the headlights that we can't do anything, you know.
Right.
So yeah.
Well, I was just going to tell you that I would hazard calling myself a recovered angry person.
it's
quite
a good
something
to have, though.
Yes.
It's,
well,
it's
it
a
has.
Good emotion. Yeah, it has a higher vibrational frequency than fear or sadness, because whereas the other two, you're incapacitated, at least with anger, it gives you a spurt to do something, to move, to create movement and energy.
Yes, yes, albeit sometimes overwhelming. On September 11th, I went down to Los Angeles and took the Reconnective Healing course with Eric Pearl.
I've done that too.
And yes, I know. I saw that in your book. And I know that he teaches, and you also say in your book, that as a healer, you don't do the healing. You allow the energy to come through, because what we're really doing when we're ill and then get well is we're changing our vibration. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yes. Because every single thing that exists, every single thing that you can detect with your senses is nothing but energy, vibration, frequency. And that's really difficult to understand, especially when, you know, I'm here touching my computer and it's very solid. My desk is solid. My chest is solid. All these things are apparently solid. But actually, we're frequency, we're vibration. And when we're in a healthy state, when we're in alignment with ourselves, this energy, this frequency is flowing throughout our body, because we pull in energy from the ether, from the atmosphere, from everything around us, and we also pump out energy. And when we're healthy, this energy is in circulation. But when something's wrong with us, or when we're in an emotional place that doesn't feel good, it's an indication that this energy is not in flow.
No, go ahead, please.
As a healer, what I'm doing is, because I can actually feel the frequency, the aura around the person, what I'm doing is manipulating that frequency, so that it begins its flow again. It's the same principle as acupuncture. Except I don't use needles. I can actually feel the person's aura. So what you're doing is stimulating the energy flow. And once your body's in flow, your organs are fed by the energy. Your blood cells are fed by the energy. Every single part of you is fed by the energy. So if there's a part of your body which has been deprived of this energy, for a long time, you're going to develop issues and problems. But once the body starts to flow, and this part of the body is being fed, you're in a healing state. And the body is, so I'm not actually healing the person. The body is healing itself. I'm enabling the body to get into that aligned state where it can heal itself. Because, we're binary creatures. We can't do two things at the same time. We can't, on the one hand, heal, repair, grow, and maintain ourselves. And whilst on the other hand, we can't be in a stress state, a stress response state. So whenever we're in a heightened state of stress, whether that be because we're in a car and we're suffering road rage, or our child is playing up and stressing us out, we can't be in those states, those stress states, as well as healing, repairing, maintaining, and growing, because one is actually depleting this supply of energy, and the other is actually using that supply of energy.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes. It's, you know, one of the things, the story you tell of Sam, a young mother,
yes,
who was ill, one of your first people that you healed, really brings,
yes,
out also that as a healer, you can't necessarily save somebody from dying if that's their path.
No. Yes. Yes.
But you can help with the vibration if they're in a place where they want to go on living, correct?
Yes. The thing is, you know, when you start out on this road, you have a certain arrogance, and your belief is that, okay, I'm a healer, I can heal people, I can save them. Well, the truth is that we all are having to die at some point, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So death is absolutely inevitable. We can't stop everybody from dying. We can't stop anybody from dying. So the big difference, though, is how you die. So if you're going to die in 10 years or 10 days or 10 hours, a healer has no bearing on that if this is your path. But where the healer can actually change the dynamics of your existence is by enabling you to pass over into peace. Because often before the point of death. People are battling with all sorts of things. There was a person that I went to see once who had terminal cancer, and I always say miracles can happen. Absolutely, miracles can happen, but miracles can't happen from one side. You know, if I'm determined that this person is going to overcome this illness, this person has got to be determined as well that they're wanting to overcome the illness. But they have to make that decision, and then our energies can unite and anything can happen. I truly believe that. But once you've made the decision that, for example, you know, it's too steep a hill to climb for me to overcome this, I'm ready to go, then you're ready to go. But it, as I said, it's how you go. And I went to see this young man, and actually was a middle-aged man, and he was in so much emotional pain and couldn't identify what it was. And what I was able to do for him was for him to enable him to identify the pain, and it was centered around an incident to do with his mother that had happened 20 years before when she had died. And he had held himself responsible, guilty for her death. And it was nothing more than an emotional blockage. And this is what he was carrying. And when I enabled him to release that blockage and he came to peace, absolute peace, and he also saw that it wasn't his fault, and he absolutely forgave himself for what he'd been holding on to for all those years. You could just see that the peace, oh my gosh, it was just amazing. And to go like that, as opposed to, for example, how my father went, at the moment of his death, he was terrified, absolutely terrified. This isn't in my book, by the way, but I remember I was at, and this was way before I knew any of this stuff. I was at his hospital bed, and he was at the point of dying, and he had barely any energy. And then suddenly his eyes flared open, and he had enormous energy, so much energy all of a sudden to try and get out the bed. It was as though he was fleeing something or someone. Goodness knows what he was seeing, but he was terrified. And very, very soon after that, he died. And I know which one of those scenarios I would choose at my point of death.
Mm-hmm. It sounds a little bit like the reaction to the light that your friend's grandfather did also, that you talk about in your book.
Yes.
You know, we're up to our next break. You're listening to Full Power Living. Carmen Harris is talking with us about her book, Shit Happens, Magic Follows. And we have more with Carmen Harris when we return. We'll be right back.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com.
Yeah. In case you're just joining us, I'm talking today with professional TV writer and also healer Carmen Harris about her book, Shit Happens, Magic Follows. Now, Carmen, we haven't really delved much into this fascinating life you have led. You got pregnant at 19, then went to college, then got yourself a job writing your own TV sitcom and worked as a writer for 10 years, spent 5 years as a novelist, and then evolved into a healer. So which part of that would you like to tell us a little bit about?
Yeah. You know what? I much prefer to look ahead rather than backwards. And I don't know what to say. I mean, I worked as a core writer on a TV soap for 10 years. That was very interesting and very fulfilling until it wasn't. And before then, I had started my own theatre company as a vehicle to, show my work in various venues. And I'm going backwards rather than forward. I wonder why that is. And I'd written a 2-minute sketch, and it won a competition. I won £1,000, and it came to the attention of someone who was working at the BBC, and that's what led to the soap job. But I'd always been writing, always, ever since I was a young child. When I was in the playground, I'd be selling these little folded up paper stories for pocket money, and some kids would buy it. So I've always been a writer, and when I had my daughter, I loved reading her stories and making up stories, and she was very responsive. So it was a lovely symbiotic activity for both of us. And what came out of that was that I decided to write up one of my stories, and that became a little children's book called Naomi's Secret. And then I wrote 3 more children's books. I don't know whether I'm missing anything out. I'm sure I am. But then, yes, I had that awful patch where I tried to write a novel. And I was told that it was, by friends, that it was brilliant, wonderful. But actually, it was just terrible. It was just full of purple prose and overblown. And it wasn't very good. But what was good was the dialogue. And I met a theatre director who loved my writing, not the structural aspects of it, but the dialogue aspects of it, and suggested I might want to write for theatre. And that's what led me to setting up my theatre company. But along the way, I also worked for a consultancy. And in this consultancy, I would write various training videos and training materials and audio material as well. So I was always writing. And somewhere along the line, it led to my writing my own series, actually 2 series of my own sitcom called Us Girls. So that's a kind of jumbled, spotted history of my writing career.
Well, I think what really stands out in that story is how many talents you actually have, how many things you were able to do. And yet, interestingly, we've long had this idea that we have a purpose in life. You've actually had a few purposes, and even though you were quite successful, like with the TV writing, it still didn't satisfy your soul. You were still you got dissatisfied and you started looking for something else. And I think that's really instructive to people listening to the show who may be dissatisfied with what they're doing. You believed yourself that you were dissatisfied and you started opening yourself to what else might come along.
Well, you know, Eileen, the thing is, nothing is wasted. This is what I've learned. Absolutely no experience is wasted. We're like this big funnel and everything goes into the funnel and comes out the other end, exactly the right blend. And when I was writing corporate stuff, when I was writing creative stuff, it was all the same thing, really. What I was interested in was backstory. Everybody comes to a certain situation or experience with their backstory. So somebody will come to me with a leg ache and they'll have a backstory as to how that came about, they think. And I will delve deeper and realize that, for example, the backstory actually went further back to when they were five. So what I'm saying is that as a novelist, as a corporate writer, you don't start from where you are. You actually dig a little bit backwards and look at backstory. And that's what I'm doing as a healer. Everybody comes to me as though they're a fully written script. And my job is to not look at the script as they give it to me, but I'm looking at the motivation between the actors, the backstory of the characters. So again, I'm still really steeped in the same world of creativity and characters and story and playing detective as well, working things out and structure. It's all there. It's absolutely all there. So I'm playing with energy now, whereas before I was, you know, in front of a computer with a pen and paper. But it's almost all the same thing. Because I've always been interested in people. That's my thing. I'm that person who, you know, when I go to a party, you'll find me on the stairs just watching people coming and going, and that's what appealed to me when I went to university, when my daughter was 5 years old, having got pregnant when I was 19. I waited 5 years and then went to university and I studied sociology because I wanted to study the subject that gave me most access to people in society. That's what I was interested in. And in the same way, writing sitcoms and writing radio programs, it's all the same thing. Interesting characters and stories.
Yes. A few weeks ago, I interviewed Brian Hubbard, who's also from the UK. I don't know if you know him. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called The Untrue Story of You. And his his book, after I read it, I woke up the morning after I finished reading the book with an awareness of how a current behavior pattern, speaking of going way back, was connected with a past life of mine. And it helped me to heal it. We're fast running out of time here, and I want to be sure to let people know that the second half of your book has your self-help allowing handbook. The first part is about magic, which has to do with energy, like we've been talking about. And you have you list 16 magical elements of this universe there. Mm-hmm. And the second part is about brown stuff. And you have 17 scenarios and tips and techniques on how to resolve these difficulties. And I think it's really important for people to know that you have that very specific help as part of your book.
Yes, it's a very practical book because we often see when we have issues, when we have problems, we see it in strictly three dimensional terms. But this book is the second part is all about, and the whole book actually is all about expanding our belief system, our awareness into the other dimensions. you know, it sounds, again, it sounds woo-woo, but if we think of, you know, the placebo effect, that there's something going on in our subconscious that is extremely powerful, and we're not tapping into that. And when you have problems, for example, you're depressed, or you're in pain, or you can't forgive somebody, those are a few of the examples. When you're stuck in those situations, it's no point somebody saying to you, just forgive the person, or, oh, there, you'll get better. Because what's happening is, when you're speaking to somebody, you're communicating with only a tiny, tiny fraction of your brain. Your conscious brain is about 5% of who you are. Whereas there's 95% back there, your programs that you've inherited mostly, which is driving the person that you are, and more importantly, is keeping you trapped in a certain way of seeing the world and being in the world. And that powerful generator, that powerful computer, is the magic part of you. And so this second part of the book is all about bringing that magic, powerful part of you into focus, so that you can use it in a practical way, and an absolutely practical way. You know, I've got so many examples. I've got hundreds of examples of people who've come to me with one issue or another, and they've walked away after one session without the issue. One of my very first clients was somebody who'd had sciatica for years, and she'd been partly paralyzed by it, couldn't hold down a job. She came up the stairs crying, and she'd seen everybody. And what we discovered between us, going into her subconscious, that big program, was that there was a point of creation in her life, a particular time in her life where she had to make a decision. And at that point, she brought up a belief about herself, about the world, and this belief was in her operating system. And believe it or not, that belief is what caused her sciatica. And once we resolved that belief, replaced it, corrected it, her sciatica completely went there and then. I think it was something like 16 years she suffered with this. And I had the forethought to take a picture of her, because she'd been so accustomed to bending with the pain that she developed scoliosis. And I took a before and after picture, and you would not believe afterwards she straightened by about 80%, and she had no pain. That was 5-6 years ago. The pain never returned. She's now working normally. And that's just one example of how this belief, when we hold a belief in this processor, it can affect our physical body. And therefore, if we can create that, we can uncreate it, i.e. magic, create magic.
That's wonderful. Thank you. We're going to have to stop here. Your website is space-4-grace.webs.com. Is that correct?
Yes, W-E-B-S, yes.
Yeah. And if someone would like, you do absent healing, I know. If someone would like healing from you, how would they contact you?
They can contact me through my website. And also, I must say that there's a video, a 4-minute video on YouTube. If you search for my name, Carmen Harris, plus FAFT, F-A-F-T, there's a 4-minute video that can release your emotional state. So you may be feeling sad, angry, or fearful, and in 4 minutes it can take the sting out of that. So that's free, and you can find out about my distance healing if you write to me at space-4-grace@hotmail.co.uk, or just contact me through my website.
Very good. All right. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for being with us today here on Full Power Living, Carmen. If you'll hang on while I sign off, I'd like to talk with you personally for a second.
Yeah.
I want you to know I've been inspired by your open sharing of your story and by the magic that you've brought into your life. So thank you for sharing it. Join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is noon Eastern, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. And on October 15th, I'm talking about Relovenship with Mario and Diane Cloutier. Please join me for this show. Paul Johnson of Fresh Talk Media, thank you for being our producer. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.